Good afternoon. I'm Kathy Lewis. We're tracking a big hurricane that slammed ashore this morning in Haiti. Welcome to the Cone of Uncertainty, Hampton Roads. And we spent a lot of time talking about the contentious presidential race. But if you're a resident of Virginia Beach, there's another contentious question on the ballot, and that has to do with the extension of light rail. We'll have both sides of that argument represented in our conversation today. We'll also talk with Secretary of Transportation Aubrey Lane about how to get across that big body of water called Hampton Roads. Interesting study underway, and let's talk about it after this news from NPR. Good afternoon. I'm Kathy Lewis. Great to be with you on this very beautiful and sunny day where all eyes are on the tropics at the moment. So we'll have some conversation about that. And of course, you can keep it tuned right here to 89.5 for all the latest on your storm tracking. But the bottom line seems to be that we will get something out of this. And those impacts will be felt largely this weekend. In the second half of the program today, we're going to be talking with the head of the No Light Rail movement in Virginia Beach, John Atkinson. He has published some very controversial ads that have people talking about the November 8th non-binding referendum on light rail. We'll also be talking with Kathy Callahan, who's the chair of the board for Light Rail Now. We have some questions for you on our Facebook page, and you can also tweet at us at Kathy Lewis Talks. First, though, we're awfully glad to have Secretary of Transportation Aubrey Lane with us in the studio to talk about a wide variety of issues. But Secretary, thank you for being with us.
Hi, Kathy. Glad to be here today.
This storm very much on our minds and much on your mind, too.
Yes. Yesterday afternoon at, I think, 4:30, we briefed the governor, the agencies responsible, obviously state police, emergency management, VDOT. I got a briefing, and as you know, yesterday the storm looked like it was started taking more westerly track, which put Virginia more into that cone of uncertainty. So we have begun mobilization efforts, getting people in place, both personnel to handle the roadways, but safety people in place. And so we'll continue to monitor it. We'll have daily updates. But I expect the governor will make a decision on a declaration of emergency sometime in the next 24 to 48 hours, particularly if the storm continues to push to the west.
And I tell you, some very tough comparisons of the track of this storm and the strength of this storm, looking an awful lot like Hazel. And it reminds me in some respects, not because the track, but because of existing conditions with the waterlogged soil that we have of Hurricane Isabel back in 05.
Absolutely. We've had a very wet last month or so, as you know, but leaves on the trees. So expect many roads to be blocked, power lines down if we get the type of major winds that could come from this storm. In fact, one of the things the governor has asked, I will be actually here in Hampton Roads in the Virginia Beach Transportation Operations Center, Traffic Operations Center. Here right in the middle of it, helping. Of course, we're in great hands with the emergency management people.
Sure.
I'm just there, but making sure that we know exactly what's going on.
Yeah, I said Isabel's 2005, is actually 2003, but many folks who were here then will remember the impacts of that storm.
Well, and of course, yesterday we already reviewed that track, but also Hazel in 1954, which came almost on the same trajectory.
Yeah.
So significant damage in Virginia. So let's hope that we get an eastern turn, takes it away from us. But I would just encourage people to begin thinking about this and paying attention.
Absolutely. And you know, just watch the track of the storm, keep track. But today is the day that you want to start getting ready for this. I think today and tomorrow is really when you want to start making preparations.
Absolutely. And Governor McAuliffe is always very proactive. I expect to see him out soon encouraging people. But he's great to work with because he very much puts public safety at the forefront.
Yeah. We're at 10 minutes past the hour. We wanted Secretary Lane to stop by today because we wanted to chat with him a bit about this water crossing study that is coming down to at least a sort of a concluding moment in the process as we have some decisions coming by the end of the year. So this Hampton Roads crossing study essentially takes a look at opportunities for us to relieve congestion And the idea is whatever these projects are, they have to be what's called fiscally constrained.
Yeah, fiscally constrained projects, which basically means we can pay for them.
Pay for it, yeah.
You know, I've been on the Commonwealth Transportation Board since 2009, and it had been the stated position of the area that they wanted everything, and we didn't get much of anything because there's just not enough money to do everything. So fiscally constrained is a very important part. But also we need to keep in mind exactly what we're trying to do with this study, and that gets back to the purpose and need. It's not only a technical issue, but we ought to keep in mind what we're trying to do. And in this study, it's clear we want to reduce congestion at the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel. And every study you look at, that's the number one thing that comes up on people's minds. But in addition to that, we've got to increase our emergency evacuation, accessibility around the area. Certainly our military connections need to be looked at, and our access to our port facilities, particularly in light of the new investment we've just announced in the Port of Virginia, over almost $700 million, which that will put a million more containers through the port each year, at 60% of that going out on trucks. That's 600,000 more trips out of there. So we've got to consider that. So that's really the purpose of this study. A broad range of things were looked at. In fact, something called operationally independent sections were looked at, which looked at everything from the peninsula all the way through Bowers Hill on the south side, crossing the Elizabeth River at 564, Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel, Monitor Merrimack. A very expansive study was done and broken into four segments. And I should point out, or four segments of study, which we can go through, the four that people have seen in the public sessions. But I also want to point out that this study was done different than the ones in the past, in that we worked along with, from the very beginning, the Army Corps of Engineers and the Federal Highways in getting concurrent records of decision to do it and permits. So this is a lot different than what it does before. I've heard people say, well, you know, I've lived here a long time and the Army Corps never made that comment before. And I would say because we never ask them.
Yeah.
And so I'm very comfortable working with our federal partners. They're very much up to speed in this and are helping us make the right decision as we look at how to spend our money on this important water crossing.
So as we think about those choices, it's A, B, C, and D, and we have posted those at our Facebook page. If you would like to take a look, there's been a series of public hearing comments. A number of cities across Hampton Roads have been weighing in on these options. And I wonder if, and I, you know, we don't want to take too much time on this, but if you could give us a sense, A, B, C, D. D is basically everything.
Yes, let's start with D, because I think that's the one that is the most expansive. It is basically expanding everything on the interstates in the Hampton area, on the peninsula, Newport News area on 664, the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel, increasing another water crossing across to Craney Island. It's then connecting into the Monitor Merrimack, but also going south on 664 with enhancements going that way towards Bowers Hill, and going with improved enhancements on 168, which is what ties in the Port of Virginia in Portsmouth. So it was the most expansive part. It is about $12.5 billion. That right there is an issue. We don't have the money to build all that.
Can it be done by degrees, or do you have to have all of it at one time?
No, you don't have to do it all at one time, but these studies are only good for about 3 years. If you don't begin building them or substantially moving forward, then the federal authorities say, well, we're going to come back and make you look at this again because things have changed. In fact, that's the very reason why we're doing this one. We've had one since the early 2000s, but the Corps says, and rightly so, things have changed a lot since then. So that was D, and I guess I would point out in that particular one, the most controversial part for our federal partners was the part that connects going across to Craney Island and then going north from Craney Island into the Monitor Merrimack Bridge Tunnel over the water. That was a real issue both for the Army Corps of Engineers and the Navy. Because Craney Island, while it hasn't been developed yet, but in addition to being important to the port for future expansion, Craney Island is the spill area where we take when we widen and deepen the channel. When we have to clear the channel here, that's where we put our spill. In fact, that makes it very comparatively less expensive to deepen and widen this channel than other ports because we have a ready place to go. If you were to do a northern crossing cutting across, then you have restricted access to Craney Island. And the Corps and the Navy both have said that is a real issue with them. And also there's some environmental issues too. I know VDOT has said we've never really built a crossing where we connect interstates over the water. And I'm sure they can do it. But if you think about bridges, they're little shoulders. If you have an accident, it's not like you can get them off on land. So that was probably the thing at the comments from our federal partners that they had the most issues with on D. Also, it's the most expensive. As I said, we couldn't fiscally constrain it. But for some of the parts on there, there wasn't the cost benefit. So that was some of the issues that were raised with D. Now, C is the next alternative. Is pretty much everything that D does, except no expansion of the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel. But there's a dedicated lane in some of the places for transit. Again, that was about $12 billion. And again, that issue crossing across in front of Craney was a significant issue for the Corps and the Navy. So if you looked at it just simply from transportation or issues with our federal partners, C and D made pretty clear to us that was going to be a hard a permit to get.
We should note, though, that I think the city of Norfolk is in favor of D. Other cities have not necessarily weighed in, and I think there's another city that's in favor of C.
That's right. And I've met with both those cities. I've met with Norfolk. I've met with the city of Newport News, I believe, was transit. And a couple of issues there. When we talk about B, I think we can accomplish what Norfolk really wants, those trucks out of downtown Norfolk. Coming out of there. So B does that. So hopefully we can encourage them to understand these issues with C and D. I've also met with Newport News said, look, we can handle transit in our managed lanes. Because primarily what's going to connect the south side and the north side, peninsula and the south side, is going to be probably bus rapid transit. And so we have managed lanes, HOV lanes,
yeah,
that can be dedicated to handle transit. So I'm hopeful we can.
And all of the options have.
All the options have HOV managed lanes in them, whether it's tolled or managed. We'll finish the last two options. Let's go to A. A is the easiest one. That is just an expansion of the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel. That one has to be done in the current right-of-way. So I want to make clear, no taking of homes in Norfolk and no taking of homes in Hampton. It would simply be sinking another tube and expanding either reversible or an additional lane in each direction at the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel. Now, the one that VDOT has recommended, I should point out to your listeners that what will happen is the local transportation authority here will make a recommendation, but it'll actually be the Commonwealth Transportation Board that picks the preferred alternative.
By
the end of the year. And we're hopeful that we're in congruence with the local people here, and that's why we're having the outreach.
We're at 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240 if you have a thought about these options.
So A is about $3.5 billion, can be fiscally constrained, does meet the purpose and need of reducing congestion. B is what A has, everything A has in it, expansion of the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel, but then another crossing from 564 over to Craney. But instead of going north, it would then go south and connect into 168, the port that the Virginia International Gateway Terminal is on. That is also another about $3 billion. So the total is a little over $6 billion. That can be constrained, because any crossing of the river is going to be tolled. And there are tolls that will be on that, and new expansion can be tolled. Not existing by the laws we've passed. So with that revenue stream, that could be meet the purpose and need, help Norfolk get the trucks out of their city, help the port, help our Navy and our military. Now, I have to be honest, the Corps said, and the Navy said, we've got some questions with that. So I don't want to guarantee it can be, because the Navy's mission has changed. They've the way of the Navy over the last decade, mm-hmm. and quite frankly, we don't want to do anything that would hurt that. The port's increasing. So we've got to work together to make sure and also protect the environment. But they have given us indication that we think we can get there. So that is why VDOT has recommended B, so we can get more information. I want to make clear, we have not made a decision yet.
And that's actually a Commonwealth Transportation Board that does that.
Yeah, and we would hope for a recommendation from the local transportation board. And we wanted to get this information for their deliberation also. But it's pretty clear that C and D are not going to work. So we're really talking about B and A, and hopefully we can get some consensus around those as we move forward, both here in Hampton Roads and at the Commonwealth Transportation Board.
You know, there's something that strikes me about this whole conversation. When you said $6 billion, that sounded really familiar, because that is, if I remember this correctly, back in 2001, 2002, we had a referendum. There were a bunch of six projects on the thing. And I remember the price tag was $6 billion to do everything. In 2002.
It comes back a lot in our discussions of tolls. We may not have been here with tolls had we passed some legislation a decade ago or so increasing. But we look forward.
We press ahead.
Where we are. Yeah. I think this is a very important decision for their area. A lot of good things are happening.
Are you getting a lot of comment from the public? I mean, how did the public hearings go?
Yes, public hearings, a lot of comment. The most recommended was D, and I think a lot of that had to do with the outreach Norfolk did, and I think that's fine. But in our discussions at the public comment at the Commonwealth Transportation Board, of course, fiscal constraints come in. I should mention that in B, if we were to do everything we did in D for another $6.5 billion, well, you pick up 3 or 4 minutes of travel time. In other words, even from a transportation perspective, it wouldn't seem prudent to spend $6.5 billion to pick up that amount of benefit. And that's from the modeling and studies we've done. So we still have the chance for the public to weigh in. The transportation board here, or the Hampton Roads Planning Organization and Transportation Planning Organizations, having hearing, another meetings, same thing with the CTB, want to hear from them. But here's the end of the day, Kathy, these are all tough decisions, but they've got to be fiscally constrained and they got to be doable. There's no sense setting expectations that we can do everything if we can't. And quite frankly, I think the two alternatives available to us would be a great boon to Hampton Roads based on everything else that's going on.
We're at 22 minutes past the hour talking with Virginia's Transportation Secretary Aubrey Lane about this Hampton Roads water crossing study as well. And you know this because you live in Virginia Beach, except when you're camped out on I-64 right, trying to get to Richmond and back. Light rail, a big question on the November ballot. And we're going to be talking with the pro and the antis in a few minutes. But there's been some question, as you know, about the status of the state funds that had been dedicated to that project.
Yeah, so I look forward to the discussion. I know you're coming up here with both those in favor and against. And I actually think that's a healthy discussion that ought to be had in that. From the state's perspective, this will be a decision made by the Virginia Beach City Council. We have committed $155 million. It was a vote taken earlier this spring in the Commonwealth Transportation Board that we just asked the City of Virginia Beach to move forward with a procurement by the end of the year. If not, those monies would be put into the transportation pot. Now, everybody said, well, that's a big threat. It's not a threat. There are consequences for not having enough resources in the Commonwealth. We're getting ready to do another scoring of Smart Scale. Last year, we had $1.7 billion allocate, and we had $7 billion in request. I just looked before we came on air here. We already have over 400 request projects and over $8 billion. And we only have a little over $750 million to allocate this year. So as you can imagine, $155 million sitting there not put to work would other people around the state say, hey, that's not fair. So in terms of they'll make their decision. There's a referendum coming up, as you mentioned. I did have a chance to look at the cost estimates, and I believe that they're done very professionally. I think people have good information to make. Everybody knows I'm an advocate, so I won't get into all that. But I will say that this is the best information for people to make their decision, and I hope that we've educated and vote what they believe is right for them.
25 minutes past the hour. Let's go to Leonard on the line from Chesapeake. Hi, Leonard. You're on the air.
Kathy, I never miss you if I can get to it.
Oh, thank you kindly. I appreciate that.
Secretary Lane, you know what? you always make yourself available, and believe me, a bunch of us appreciate that. Every time they talk about a cross, or VDOT talks about crossing, you know, over the major waterways, they also include what will affect me out here in Chesapeake. Mm-hmm. And they've been talking about this thing called the Southeastern Expressway mm-hmm. for 30 years. Do you know anything about that? Can you talk to that?
Yes, I can. In fact, that is very similar to our Route 460. That was a road that was cutting through the southern part, southeastern part of Virginia Beach, coming in through Chesapeake, that ran into environmental issues and could not receive a permit. I know.
Which is part of the reason why we're trying to sort of meld that process so that we don't get that kind
of
surprise.
So we don't get that surprise again. That's exactly right, Kathy. And so where it stands now, it still does not have a permit. I know Virginia Beach has explored different ways, but I don't see that as becoming a reality. I don't want to say it's completely dead, because if we could be helpful, we would be. But I don't see that as being a high priority in the future, at least in the present future. As you did know, we did finally receive our permit on 460. I know there's people for and against that. What will happen is now, we'll go through our smart scale process, our prioritization. It'll compete with funds, and we'll be able to bring that to a conclusion. But the Southeastern Parkway right now, there is nothing actually moving forward on it as we speak.
Leonard, I thank you for the call and for your kind comments. Daniel's on the line from Virginia Beach. Hi, Daniel. You're on the air.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon. Quick question. In lieu of light rail, if that were not to pass down here, what would the secretaries be if we dedicated that 10.6 miles and created a road for autonomous vehicles? And I'll take my
for autonomous vehicles.
Sure.
And of course, that's one of the things a lot of people are talking about in terms of technology that's on the horizon, and in fact, here.
Yeah, so it's really not the secretary's view. There are documents in place, contracts signed, that we would have to follow. I mentioned that if there is no procurement moving forward on the light rail by the end of December, those monies would go back in the transportation pot. There is a document that does require the city of Virginia Beach to remit the $20 million the state put up for the acquisition of that. But look, we're here to promote transportation. If the beach doesn't go forward, I don't want to take any line in the sand on anything, because at the end of the day, that quarter, they thought it was significant. We've participated with monies. But I do want to mention that, the conversation seems to come in. It's either transit or vehicles or autonomous vehicles. And the answer is not exclusively either one. It's all of the above. These are corridors that we look at. The state felt that light rail was appropriate for this corridor for things like induced demand. We just can't build anymore in there. We got to look at getting more people through the corridor. And I'm often quoted as saying, it doesn't help congestion, certainly in the short term, even roads don't. But in the long term, we certainly think it would. But this is not about holding a gun to the hand of Virginia Beach. Either use the monies or don't, and we understand that. Then we'll sit down and talk about what that corridor is used for, although there's documents that say what's stipulated, but that's not what we're about. We're trying to move transportation forward.
So, and thank you for the call, Daniel. The other thing that's interesting on this transportation question, and it really, it's very much like the taxation subject we talked about yesterday. It really engages people's thoughts and feelings and value judgments and systems and all the rest of it. And I've heard so many people say, well, you know, it doesn't pay for itself. Transportation generally, you know, doesn't pay for itself. And it's almost like there's a way that we have a different idea about transportation here in terms of its public utility aspect than other countries do.
Oh, well, certainly other countries, but not other parts of the state, because I'm having similar debate is going on in the Ashland and Fredericksburg area about higher speed rail and the impacts on people in there. Certainly when we did Interstate 66 in Northern Virginia, there was some hard head feeling. So I understand them, and certainly those people that are directly impacted. I don't know what to say other than to say you're impacted, but we don't take that lightly. But a lot of times we set it up as one or the other, and I put it in terms of transportation options, and that really is not the discussion. It ought to be is what is appropriate for that particular transportation area you're trying to take care of. Mm-hmm. We look at the state as 264 as a quarter. It's not just the interstate, it's a quarter. It also used to have freight moving on it, the old line, now that light rail is on. We don't have the money to go build every road there is. And so therefore, using our existing infrastructure more wisely and getting more throughput of people, not vehicles, and people is what's key. You mentioned autonomous vehicles. I've seen studies that show autonomous vehicles going to put more roads cars on the road. Because if you get rid of a bus that has 60 people and put 60 trips in autonomous vehicles, the other side of autonomous vehicles, there's a majority still in this country that are scared to death of them. Mm. So when we merge them in, it's probably going to require managed lanes.
So the future really is, it sounds like, a lot of different options.
No single bullet. I believe it's going to be a melding of different technologies, different infrastructures as we look forward. So that's, you know, we all understand technology change. It's coming. But there are still old technologies that work in some applications. That's the same true in transportation, too. So I just think we really need to try to focus on what's the right answer. If you got a different one, let's debate it.
Yeah, and debate is what we like to do. We're at 440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. And those are the numbers where you can join us today. We are at 29 minutes before the hour. And again, if you're concerned about this storm, which is not even supposed to be coming until the weekend, you can certainly keep it right here for more information. We're talking with Secretary of Transportation Aubrey Lane. This question, though, of transportation in terms of its public utility aspect is an interesting one, because it really, it almost seems like you have to have, we all sort of have to get on the same page about that if we're to do some of this stuff.
You know, I actually believe that infrastructure is a core function of government, whether that infrastructure is transportation or, you know, other type of schools, what have you, that is one thing where I believe that is government's responsibility. Certainly the private sector has a big part to play in that. And we are a very big believer in public-private partnerships. In fact, we've reformed our process, and I believe a lot in private sector ingenuity. In fact, if you talk about these projects, that's why we go out for competition with the public sector, because they compete against each other, and they always amaze me at how innovative they are in delivering, both in terms of cost, but also in their suggestions. That's why design-build is becoming a bigger part, instead of us telling them what the right answer is. I had a chance to testify in front of Congress, and I was there. The Cato Institute was there, some private industry. And I think while they had differences of opinions, we're going to have to find a lot of different ways to pay for this. And no infrastructure on its own, without including some type of indirect benefits, pays for itself. I mean, no road we build, no transit we subsidize. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, you don't have an operating on roads. Well, we do. It's called maintenance. And if we were really maintaining those roads, which we're doing now with some of the reforms we put in, the historical things they've seen for maintaining roads have changed a lot. We weren't maintaining them. But at the end of the day, it supports not only our ability to go back and forth, but I actually think our very livelihoods. Mm. And so you talk about incentives and a fair playing field for the private sector. It all is based on the free movement of goods and services. Without that, we have a tough time.
Transportation Secretary Aubrey Lane, thank you so much for stopping by the studio today, and we hope we're going to have a better weekend than it looks like we're going to have now.
Thank you, Kathy. Yeah. Everybody stay safe.
Yes, indeed.
I'll continue listening on the car about the debate on light rail.
I bet you will.
Thank you so much.
We'll be back in just a moment. Thank you. Welcome back. We're at 24 minutes before the hour, talking in the rest of the program today about light rail, an important referendum on the City of Virginia Beach ballot on November 8th. You will not only get to vote for president and vice president and all the rest of it, you will also get to vote in a non-binding referendum on the question of the extension of light rail from Newtown Road, where it currently ends, to Town Center in Virginia Beach. We're at 440-2665 or 1-800-940-2240. John Atkinson with us in the studio today. He is the treasurer of Virginia Beach and the founder of the No Light Rail Movement in Virginia Beach. Nice to have you here. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'm here as a taxpayer, not as a representative of the city.
Fair enough, except there has been some question about those about that, so we'll talk about that in the course of the hour. But the thing we're really interested in hearing is the position of your group against light rail. What are the reasons that you think that light rail should not be extended from Newtown Road to Town Center?
High cost, lack of use, and lack of a valuable service to the citizens.
Okay. High cost. The estimates have just come in. We just had $84 million than earlier estimates, but is there any estimate on cost that you think would be appropriate, or is it just that this one is too high at $69.5 million a mile?
It's too high, period. But the cost yesterday was $243 million for track. In addition to that, there'll be the buses, parks, landscaping. They have to buy a $16 million Regal movie house and tear it down. These are additional costs, you understand, that were evidently not included in the $243 million figure. If you add them together, they probably come up to close to another $30 million.
So
it could be more.
So
we
if
don't
the
know.
Cost were appropriate in whatever,
no.
whatever you still would not want
well,
light
the
rail.
Well, the cost is, okay, do we want light rail? No one's going to use it.
Okay.
Whereas so the city ran a survey, a $6.2 million survey, and determined that only 1,100 people a day would use it in 2034. The previous guest, Secretary of Transportation, has said light rail will not move people and it will not eliminate congestion in Virginia Beach. Those are his words, not mine.
But I think, we'll come back to that one, too. Kathy Callahan with us, the board chair for Light Rail Now. Nice to have you with us today.
Thank you, Kathy.
Why do you think light rail expansion is a good idea, then?
We think it's important to the city of Virginia Beach to plan for its future, to shape its future. And part of that is creating an environment that will invite businesses to come to the area, creating jobs, and expanding our tax base. We think that the citizens will see advantages to it even if they never ride light rail. If you're a citizen that lives in Pungo, you may never ride light rail, but you will see your tax base expanded, meaning your taxes go down because more businesses and more jobs will be attracted to the area, keeping our tax base stable. In addition, the development of the city will be focused on the light rail track, away from our rural areas and our suburban areas, keeping those pristine areas the way they are, but allowing walkable communities to be built along light rail, which will attract young people, which will attract businesses and jobs. You know, in today's paper, there were two important op-eds, one from the paper supporting light rail based on the new cost estimates, but the more important was also Dr. Cook's op-ed about the slow growth in our area.
This is Dr. Jim Cook, President Emeritus at Old Dominion University.
Absolutely. In the state of the region, he indicates that we have not even grown our jobs back to the beginning of the Great Recession. We are growing at less than 2% rate, which is a rate we cannot sustain. We have to diversify, we have to attract new businesses and new jobs to our area. And that's why we very much support light rail. We think it's a bigger issue than just moving people along a train track.
20 minutes before the hour, the proposal is for three new stations, three new light rail vehicles, along with a park and ride lot and a bus transfer station at Constitution Drive. We're wondering what you're thinking about the issue. 440-2665 1-800-940-2240. it's a very interesting issue, Mr. Atkinson, but you have really come under some criticism for a campaign that you have put out that has a couple of different aspects to it, one of which features a child who looks unhappy and says something along the lines of, you know, is this what you want to sort of be sitting next to in light rail?
That's relatively simple. Our job is to, of course, sell our message. There's no adult who's never had a child that hadn't melted down on them and been embarrassed in the process. Likewise, there is no adult who hadn't watched a child melt down. Mm-hmm. The fact is both adults are always trapped by the child's meltdown. Nothing they can do about it. This is a normal thing for children to do. Mm-hmm. And our point is don't get trapped by light rail.
Well, Mr. Atkinson, we would ask that what the more important question is what is the NO Group's position on their plan for growth for Virginia Beach? Right now, light rail is projected to add close to $1 billion in new real estate value within 15 years and add over $50 million in new annual property taxes within 12 years, creating 3,000 new jobs by 2020. What is your plan for growth for Virginia Beach without diversifying our economy and attracting new businesses that light rail would do?
Well, first, you have no evidence that those numbers are going to happen.
That is a projection based on and approved by the Economic Department at Old Dominion. And it's been borne out by other communities from Charlotte to Salt Lake City to Minneapolis that have seen exponential growth based on their investment in a reliable technology like light rail.
And so the question, I think, has to do with if light rail comes to be part of Virginia Beach, is that going to be an opportunity for growing jobs? And if you don't want that, then what would you have instead to build jobs?
They mentioned the development of I-64 corridor, especially in the Cleveland Street area. And one of the first things they intend to do is bulldoze it. And there are about 300 businesses in there that have taken 40 or 50 years to accumulate. They have gained synergy by being located there. And the city's intention is to run a highway through it, demolish it, and redevelop it into mixed-use construction. Businesses don't have any place to go in Virginia Beach. We have no vacant land anymore. We're built out.
I think one of the key issues in this campaign, and certainly it's been, I think, sparked by the ad campaign that you all did, has to do with the sense, and you wrote something about millennials, if they want to live closer together and have light rail, they can go to Norfolk. People seem to be very concerned about that in terms of a message of welcome in Virginia Beach. And I wonder how you respond to their concerns about that.
Well, I think you got half of the question there. The question was, okay, what do they do? Well, my answer is this. If a millennial needs $10,000 or $12,000 a year of taxpayer money to commute to work, perhaps he should consider moving to Norfolk.
Mr. Atkinson, do you realize that we retain less than 40% of the young people we educate in our city? We have to have millennials attracted to our city to thrive and to grow. And they are attracted by walkable communities, and they are attracted by mixed-use communities. And businesses are attracted by a large group of talented people.
I just want to make sure we get our calls because a lot of people want to weigh in on this issue. We're talking about light rail, and a referendum question is on the Virginia Beach ballot on November 8th that has to do with extending light rail from, or a proposal to extend light rail from Newtown Road, where it currently ends, to Town Center. Jason's on the line from Virginia Beach. Hi, Jason. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. Go right ahead.
Hey, I live in Cypress Point, so it's about a 2-mile drive to Newtown to the light rail. We use it all the time. My wife works in Norfolk. She's a high school teacher. And just to touch on a point that was just talked about, the kids who graduate from the Governor's School for the Arts talk about all the time wanting to go to a city where being able to get around easily is a big part of what draws them there. And it's very important. We have a growing art community here, and everything is going to blossom if we do stuff in this direction.
Jason, thank you for the call. Brenda's on the line from Virginia Beach. Hi, Brenda. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I'm a supporter of light rail. I have a daughter with a physical disability. She uses a wheelchair. She could benefit greatly from light rail. She has door-to-door transit. I won't go a whole lot into that, but that is extremely limited and very, very inconvenient. I'm really discouraged by what I hear from the opponents. It seems like they're very selfish. They think of themselves. It's like, oh, we have a car. Who cares about the rest of society? And even their leader is very flippant. Mr. Atkinson goes online or goes verbally telling other groups that they can just move away. I just think it's very inappropriate, very unprogressive, and that we need to look at segments of society that could truly benefit from light rail. Thank you.
Brenda, thank you for the call. Gary's on the line from Virginia Beach. Hi, Gary. You're on the air.
Yes. Hey, I'm with Mr. Atkinson. I drive for a living. I'm all over the place. There ain't five people on that light rail right now in Norfolk, I bet you. And, you know, it's just a big waste of money. It's just going to bring riffraff. If you're going to bite it,
what do you mean by riffraff, Gary?
Take it to the oceanfront.
Gary,
take it all the way to the oceanfront.
Okay, and there certainly are proposals to do that. But what do you mean by riffraff?
Stop at town center. You're going to have 3,000 new jobs. Yeah, they're all going to be minimum wage at the fast food joints they put up along the way.
But you said, Gary, it would bring riffraff. What do you mean by riffraff?
Well, look, if you can get on in anywhere between Newtown and Bramlington and put $3 in the slot and go to Virginia Beach and walk up and down the boardwalk and not spend any money, you know, what do you got? People looking for trouble.
What
I feel.
What makes you think that people who would be riding the light rail?
Because. Yeah, you're not going to get me to say what you want me to say, but I just don't see it. There's nobody riding it, you know?
Gary,
they got three trains sitting over there, not even moving it. Valentine Boulevard, Bramlington Avenue.
Gary, thanks for the call today. I appreciate it. We're at 12 minutes before the hour. And, of course, ridership changes depending on the time of day that you're watching. No question about that. There are times when there are not a lot of people on the light rail, but in the commuter times in the morning, there certainly are. Chris is on the line from Virginia Beach. Hi, Chris. You're on the air.
Hello, Kathy.
Hi, go right ahead.
Thank you. I'm a big proponent. I highly support light rail. I can't wait for light rail to come to town center because I will be riding it from town center to Norfolk to the theater and all the other places I love to go. And I hope that people will be doing the opposite. It will help town center immensely. We need to improve Virginia Beach in the right direction. And I think the old fogies and the racists can get off the whole program and let us move on with being progressive. You know, let the young people have a chance. It's our time.
Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. So just to sort of recap some of our most recent calls, there are at least a lot of our callers today, and certainly a lot of our posters as well, are talking about this idea of the future and what the future asks of us in some respect. And setting aside the cost for a moment, Mr. Atkinson, I wonder how you respond to what you're hearing from people who are saying this seems to them to be a look backward instead of a look forward.
That's their opinion.
Okay. 11 minutes before the hour, Dale's on the line from Virginia Beach. Hi, Dale. You're on the air.
Hi. I'd like to comment on the exponential growth comments that have been made. We're assuming in the first place that, and this is just pure speculation, that the light rail that will bring exponential growth. The point I would like to make is all the big cities and all of the large metropolitan areas in this country have experienced exponential growth. And I have talked to a number of people from a number of those areas, both who lived in the city and who lived in the suburbs in those areas, and their taxes are also exponential. They're much higher than this place. Exponential growth is not necessarily a good thing, except for those probably at the top 1% or 5%.
Dale, I...
The other thing is...
Go ahead.
As you can probably tell by my voice, I'm a senior, and I am not a light rail proponent, by no means, because I know my taxes are going to go. Now, I don't qualify for the exemption.
Okay, Dale, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to run along because I've got three other calls I got to get in the program, and I've got a lot of Facebook comments as well. I hear your opposition, and I thank you for the call. Carla writes on our Facebook page, she wants to talk about the fact, well, says she realizes you're a private citizen, but she thinks this creates a bias. Steve says additional capacity. I'm sorry, that was the other one. Bill Griggs says they moved from Norfolk to a new home in Virginia Beach and they miss the tide. Bob says his business is in rail technology, but he's done none of it in Virginia. But when he travels between D.C., New York, and Philly on high-speed rail, he gets envious, same in Brussels and London. He says vision requires eyesight. We are becoming a museum internationally. The world is building infrastructure while we are mired in preserving 1955 and Dad's Edsel. It's going to be a very interesting vote on November 8th. Gudrun is on the line from Norfolk. Hi, Gudrun. You're on the air.
Hi. Excuse me. I'm also a senior. I live in off Granby Street near mm-hmm. Ocean View. I would love to have light rail come to Ward's Corner. I would take it downtown. Right now, I often go to drive all the way to Newtown Road and take it to go downtown just to go to MacArthur Mall, to the theater or to, you know, and it would be great. Nobody's thinking of the seniors like neighbors of mine who can't drive anymore.
Gudrun, thank you for the call. Let's go to Josh on the line from Norfolk. Hi, Josh. You're on the air.
Hi. Yes, ma'am. I just like to talk about the fact that people want to bring up the saying that no one, there aren't any riders on it. The problem is it doesn't go anywhere right now. If it goes to Virginia Beach, people from Virginia Beach, are they not? Do they not want to go to a Tides game or to the Norva? I think it's going to work both ways. And as a 30-year-old that lives in Ghent, I would use it to go to the beach. I mean, I make $50,000 a year. I'm going to spend money. It's not just riffraff. That's just such a antiquated, outdated look and mindset to have.
Josh, thank you for the call. Daniel's on the line from Virginia Beach, and we're just taking calls today at 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. Daniel's on the line from Virginia Beach. Daniel, thanks for the call.
Yes, ma'am. Once again, I've heard the arguments for and against the light rail, and my proposal is back to the autonomous vehicles. Dedicating that 10.6, you would bring in technology companies, bring back automotive companies. These are huge people that are investing in this. It would bring engineers, data analysis, and technical jobs to this area. It provides elderlies and disability, people with disabilities, access to these, and it would be the future. There's already states that are doing it. Florida, we have buses that are autonomous in Australia, as well as taxi cabs here in, I think, Chicago and over in Singapore.
Thank you for the call, Daniel. I appreciate it. We're at 6 minutes before the hour. The calls are coming in, so I'm just trying to get to them as quickly as we can. TJ is on the line from Newport News. Hi, TJ. You're on the air.
Yeah, I recently moved in the last year from the Charlotte area, mm-hmm. and so I've got firsthand experience with how that city is dealing with being behind the curve on accommodating the massive number of people who are coming into the area. And I think if Virginia Beach, if Hampton Roads has a chance to get ahead of that curve, it can only benefit the area as a whole.
In the Charlotte system, how is it working? It's fairly new, isn't it?
It is fairly new. They have a light rail that connects east to west. And so someone who lived on the north and south side, it was a problem to be able to get to that and use that infrastructure. And they're still trying to figure out how to do that because they did it after the growth instead of anticipating the growth. It was problematic.
Okay, TJ, I thank you for the call from Newport News today. Josh on the line from Virginia Beach. Hi, Josh, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm not sure if I understand the reason why the gentleman opposed the light rail, because I cannot get the reasoning, the rationale. I'm not sure if there's something that's underneath that is some hidden agenda. I'm not sure. But what I'm saying is The light rail would benefit me and my family very much because, as a matter of fact, I'm getting goosebumps just talking about the possibilities of it being a reality. To live downtown Virginia Beach and go all the way to Norfolk, I mean, that's just wonderful. You can take one afternoon ride, Sunday afternoon ride with the family, and I think it's a good idea, and I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
Josh, thank you for the call. 4 minutes before the hour, Timothy's on the line from Virginia Beach. Hi, Timothy, you're on the air.
Hi, Kathy. I want to say, first off, I enjoy it. That being said, I am for the light rail as far as a functionality thing, but at the end of the day, I don't believe that it is worth the cost. I myself am a millennial, and I've traveled it when I get a chance, and I live not too far from Newtown. Been in Virginia Beach my whole life, and I don't really believe that it's worth the cost. I mean, there's so many other ways of traveling around. We have a great HRT system. The roads are rather... functional. I mean, for what we need going on. So I don't see the overall point of spending the amount of money that we have and focusing it on something like that.
Timothy, thank you for the call from Virginia Beach. I really appreciate it and appreciate all the calls today. We have a lot of engagement on this on Facebook, on Twitter. Calls are still coming in, but we have a clock to pay attention to. So sadly, that is our time constraint. We don't have fiscal constraint. We sure do have time constraints. John Atkinson, thank you for joining us today in the studio. I appreciate
it
very much. Kathy Callahan, thank you for joining us
as
well.
My pleasure.
So if you are interested in more information, it's vbconnects.com or No Light Rail VB. That's where you can learn more about both sides. Did I get that right? Virginia Beach.
VB is No Light Rail Virginia.
No Light Rail Virginia Beach.com. Got it. Okay. And then VBConnects.com is for the pro side. So lots of options there for you to explore it further. You can also post on our Facebook page. Lots and lots and lots and lots of comments there and on Twitter as well. So that referendum question is coming up on the November 8th ballot. So if you live in Virginia Beach, that is something that you will face when you go to the polls. And it is a non-binding referendum, but certainly City Council watching very closely the results of that on the question of whether to extend light rail from Newtown Road to Town Center. Thanks so much for your thoughts and your calls today. Very excited that Joe Flanagan's going to be with us tomorrow. Joe is going to sit in this chair. So, you know, he does this Joe's Job thing where he goes and tries things he's never done before. So he's going to sit in this chair on Thursday and give it a try. We'll see what happens. I think it's going to be a load of fun. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.